This is episode number 12 with Alexi Panos. Welcome to the Rise Higher podcast. I'm your host, Stephanie Kwong, and each week I'll bring you an inspiring guest with an empowering message to help you rise higher and live your best life. Each guest shares their time of struggle and setback and what specific mindsets, tools, practices, or habits they use to overcome so that you can apply them to your life. This show is to remind you that you're not alone and that there's always a pathway up. Thanks for spending some time with me today. I'm grateful to be on this journey with you. Our struggles are a call for us to rise. So here we go. Let's dive deep now so we can rise higher together. Welcome back to the Rise Higher podcast. I am so freaking pumped for today's episode with my soul sister, Alexi Panos. Guys, this episode is packed with amazing wisdom and practices just for you. Now, Alexi is a leader in the Emergent Wisdom movement, and she and her husband, Preston Smiles, have supported hundreds of thousands of people individually and together to dramatically change their lives by participating in their various programs and workshops all over the world. And the two of them have a massive global influence. And to most everyone who know Alexi and Preston, they look at them as the perfect couple with the perfect relationship. And basically, they are the ideal example or poster peeps for relationship goals. Now, I know that's exactly what I thought when I met them a few years ago. Now, when I was talking to Alexi about this, she shared that being in a conscious relationship isn't all sunshine and rainbows. And in this episode, Alexi openly shares what it took for them to have the powerful relationship they do now. Because as you'll hear, Preston didn't fit this idea Alexi had of who she'd end up with. And it was his love and their relationship that challenged her to finally look at the negative agreements and unconscious expectations she'd made for herself based off of past hurt and deep wounds. And relationships are one of the most potent catalysts to have you grow as a person if you choose to take it on. And Alexi did that. So you're going to hear the incredible story of how Alexi and Preston met, and Alexi shares some of the specific steps she took to identify and release the negative agreements and unconscious expectations so that she could step into the partnership she was meant to be in. Now, we talk about so many amazing things in this episode to help you move forward, and some of the other things we talk about are how our society sets us up to fail when we're meant to soar. The most important human journey of all to self-worth and self-love. How trauma stacks inside the body and the importance of releasing it so it will stop running and ruining your life. How to face the parts of yourself you're afraid to face to get your power back. Patterns of behavior that are inherited from our ancestors. The truthful facade about control and how it doesn't really exist. The importance and impact of language, and why choosing our words carefully is the key to communication, and of course, so much more. Seriously, Alexi shares about how most of us feel a void within and how important it is to release past traumas in the body in order to come home to ourselves and to feel whole, loved, and healed. So if you've ever felt that our culture is teaching you that your worth is based on what's outside yourself, or if you find yourself struggling with the need to be approved of, to feel worthy of love, or to be significant, this episode is for you. And Alexi breaks down what it's like to find the pathway that lifts you above all that unnecessary outside noise so you can feel whole, valuable, and good enough. Okay, we should just get this party started. There's so much goodness in this episode. I know you'll get massive value because that's what Alexi always delivers. She's even giving away a free webinar sharing 5 keys to unlock abundance in your life. Now, it's an amazing training, and if you want powerful steps to follow to increase abundance in your life, I share all the details of how to get it at the end of this episode, so stay tuned for that. Now, for everything that we mentioned in today's episode and for links to connect with Alexi, you can check it out in the full show notes over at stephaniekwong.com/EP12. All right, let's roll.
All right, guys. It's another episode of the Rise Higher Podcast, and I have an amazing guest for you, Alexi Panos.
Yes.
In the house.
In the house.
Woo, we're sitting at my home right now, actually.
With your cute little dog bear behind you.
And guys, I cannot wait for you to really get to know Alexi in this episode. I've had the pleasure of really dropping in this year. Finally, we've known each other for so long, just like in circles. We've been helicoptering around each other.
Girl?
At least I've been around you. And so I actually, where I got to drop in deeper is through Alexi's business mastermind. That was also a big catalyst to finally get like running legs on this podcast.
Yes.
To get out into the world. Alexi, you're an extraordinary human being. Thank you for the gift that you are. And I'm so excited that you're a yes to being on the show and sharing your wisdom.
Of course.
With my listeners. And so Alexi and I were talking, actually, you know what? Let's drop in. I would love for you to share a little bit about who you are.
So there's like the official bio version of who I am, mm-hmm. but like bios are so like bio. You know, like here's my bio. You know.
Yeah.
But who I am is I'm an artist. I really consider myself an artist. And I consider myself an artist not because I paint or sing or dance. I do all those things. But because I create and I truly have tapped into my creator. I believe we're all creators. And my creator is so multifaceted, but has this deep, profound need to make a difference. And that has shown up as nonprofit work. It's shown up as a business mastermind with extraordinary women who are doing impact work. It's shown up as videos. It's shown up as all sorts of crazy things that for me, you know, whether it's a book or a podcast or a speech or a workshop or a whatever it is that I'm doing, it's always a transmission of a bigger message.
Mm.
And that for me is really continuously getting out of my own way, which has been a journey for me because I found, especially in my early 20s, ego was like totally running the show. And I was in entertainment and I felt this need to be significant. And when I really dropped into my own shadow and dropped into my own stuff, I recognized that the need for significance was only trying to like fill a void. And once I filled my own void, I got that, oh, now that I'm full, I actually want to give. And what can I give?
Mm-hmm.
And that's the question I keep sitting in, like, how can I serve? What can I give? So that's going to keep evolving. My bio is going to keep changing, of course.
That was a good a good live bio, people.
Exactly. But it's truly like I will just keep getting out of my own way and saying yes to the creative force that is commanding me.
Mm. When you said there was a void for you, what was your specific void that you were trying to fill?
So many things. It was this deep need to like be approved of, this deep need to feel significant in the world, this deep need to feel worthy of love, you know, from everything from a sexual trauma to like parent trauma to, you know, bullying in high school. I mean, all sorts of things really kind of peppered my experience and had me believe this idea that I had to be someone that I wasn't or something different than I was to truly lock into a powerful life.
You do such extraordinary work transforming the lives of human beings to really own their power and shine their light bright in the work that you've done. And I'm sure this is a common thing of people having these voids. What do you see creates the void? And then what is, say, a first step to start getting out of it?
Yeah, you know, that's such an interesting question because the creation of the void is so different for everyone, but it's a trauma. And, you know, we say the word trauma and people are like, oh, well, I had a pretty good life. Trauma doesn't have to be a rape or sexual assault or being held at gunpoint. Like, it doesn't have to be that traumatic, quote unquote. But a trauma could be not getting validation from your parents when you brought home that A+ paper. You know, that's a trauma. And our body actually stores it somatically and our body begins to fill this, there's like this little void and it has this little section of traumas that it just keeps stacking. And we can do as much mindset work as we want. And you know this, but until we experientially clear and somatically release this stuff, it's gonna keep running our lives. So that's the thing that starts it. But then society, we are in the perfect society to just perpetuate this stuff.
Totally.
Because it's like marketers are like, you are not worthy. You are not good enough. Have this makeup, have this hair, have this body, have this life, and then you'll be, right? And we watch TV, we read magazines, we drive cars past billboards all the time where we are being programmed day after day, moment after moment, that we are not enough. So if we do not do the work on ourselves and take responsibility for that, we are just setting, like, we're already set up to fail.
Totally.
So, I mean, let's do what we can, right? And that's really where, and I know you know this because we've done a lot of the same work, that's where jumping in and being responsible and doing that work is key. So key.
Yeah. And I think the recognizing that we're set up for this, because so many people feel alone in going, well, I'm the only one with the void.
Right.
And we look at everybody else. Well, look how perfect their life. They've got it all together. You know, they came from this family, or they were just born with this skill, or whatever it might be. And they hold their own void like it's the only one on this planet.
I'm the only one with this problem.
This is only me. But it's the common issue, I would say, of humanity and our soul's elevation is to really see it for what it is and then to connect back to who we truly are.
Totally. And it's a part of the human journey, right? And I think it's so interesting because I'm in this spiritual world, but I'm also very human and like, love the realness of being
human. No, you're not. I was just saying,
a human.
Alexi is a unicorn.
I love the human world.
Yeah.
I love its messiness. I love the chaos. Like, I love the problems because I chose it, you know? And, and no matter what you believe based on your religion, based on results, we're here.
Yes.
So based on results, I chose this. Like whether I came in from another lifetime or like beamed down from another planet, whatever the story is, I chose this.
Yeah.
So why not embrace the mess? Why not embrace the chaos? Why not embrace the challenge of finding home again in a world that is set up for you to think home is somewhere out there?
Totally. You know, I had a huge message about where home was. Actually did an ayahuasca ceremony.
That'll help you get there.
Totally, right? It'll get you all over the place. But I remember I had in the ayahuasca ceremony, I got my, like, it's almost like my subconscious opened up and all these memories started flooding in. And I just started sobbing. And I think I had suppressed those memories because I just didn't want to deal with them yet, or I wasn't able to. And the shaman came up to me and they had prepped us in the beginning. They said, if she comes to you and gives you a bomb to put somewhere, don't waste it. Ask a question, get information. And so she put it on my hands, told me to put it on my heart. And when I did, I asked, what do I need to know? And the answer was, this is where home is. Stop trying to find it outside of yourself. It's right here.
I just got these
bones. I know. And that was like when it really deepened my journey into self-love because I was always still looking for something outside to solve it, to be the answer, to make me feel whole again.
Oh my God, I've been there so many times. It's exhausting.
Oh goodness.
Yes.
Yeah. Speaking of the heart, you and I were talking beforehand for what would be really great to share with the people who are listening. And for those of you who don't know Alexi, you must. So please go to her YouTube channel. We'll have
stalk
her because I do. You have so much great stuff out there. And a lot of it's around conscious relationships. I think when we were talking about it, a lot of our friends and community, they look to you and your husband, Preston. And we're like, wow. Perfect relationship.
Perfect couple.
Perfect couple. They're gorgeous. They're going to make a gorgeous baby that's coming out in February. Coming soon.
Yeah.
And you were sharing that, no, it's not all perfect.
No.
Let's start with how you guys met. Would love for the audience to know that story.
Yeah. So super long, amazing, serendipitous story, shorter. I was actually kind of exploring a month, I just moved to LA from New York. And I was like, you know what? I just got out of a 4-year relationship. Want to really take time for myself, build my business. And I was single that whole year in LA, the first year. And then somebody who was in my circle, who was actually best friends with one of my best guy friends, was pursuing me.
Ooh.
And I was kind of like, no, no, I want to be single. I'm focusing, you know, that whole story. Mm-hmm.
Self-love.
Like, this is about me right now. And sure enough, come August, September, he's like, when are you going to stop, like, avoiding what's here? And he's a great guy, like, on paper, checked off all the things. And he was serious. Like, he wanted to marry me. And so for about a month, I was kind of exploring things with him. He invited me out to London for a boys' weekend to meet some of his friends. He's like, we never get to see each other. I was traveling, leading workshops. He's like, just come out. It's the only weekend I have off. Sure enough, I'm like, ugh, resistant, but fine, I'll go to London. Like, my idea of a great weekend is like laundry and reading. It's like, can I just stay home for one weekend? But I got a yes. I got a hardcore yes in my body. And I was like, okay, I'm going to London for the weekend. It sounds so far and so ridiculous, but okay. I get there. He missed his flight from Atlanta, where he was working at the time. But his friends picked me up at the airport, and we spent the whole Friday together. And one of his friends, after spending the whole day together, is like, you are the female version of this guy I went to school with. I'm like, oh, does he live in Louisiana, where he lived? And he's like, no, he lives in LA. You guys are up to similar stuff. I'm going to connect you on Facebook. Now, meanwhile, anyone who knows me knows that I never check my Facebook messages. Ever. And he connects us on Facebook. I don't write back, but this guy, Preston, writes me like, hey, da-da-da, great to meet you. Let me know whenever you're back in LA. Preston thought I lived in London. So 2 weeks later, I'm back in LA. Things are kind of still like, I'm still kind of sussing it out with this guy, but still really just like all about me at this point. We go to InQ show, which you know InQ, and it was his first spoken word show in LA in Venice at the Electric Lodge. And I go with a friend of mine on the Friday night, where I actually had tickets Saturday night, but my girlfriend called me last minute. She's like, can you swap nights with me? Something came up. I'm like, okay, fine. I'm never late to anything. I'm late to this show, which I hate being late. I hate it.
I hate it
too. And I'm running late, and I get there and they're like, we oversold the show. There's no seats. And I'm like, oh, you know, like, I just want to see him. And sure enough, he goes, you know what? The host is like, I'll build a row in the front. Builds around the front. I sit down next to my friend, and 2 seconds later, Preston and his blind date that he was on sit down right next to us.
No way.
Yeah. And Preston's like, Alexi from London. And I was like, yeah, but I live here. He's like, wait, you live in LA? And Preston knew like right away that I was like his wife. Like, he had this whole download that he was meeting his wife soon. And wow, he like had done 6 months of celibacy prior. So he was really like prepping for that space. And he knew right away, and I was under the context that we were going to work together, because that's what his friend said. So I was like, you know me, I'm very work-focused. Like, I'm very purpose-driven.
Yes.
So I'm like, oh, cool. He seems great. You know, so we set up a coffee meeting a week later, and all these signs from the universe, literally, like, there was a perfect heart in my coffee with the little coffee bubbles. A bird pooped on the windshield of my car when he walked me back to my car with a perfect heart-shaped poop. Like,
shut.
I took pictures and posted it on Instagram. It was that crazy. I was like, what is the universe trying to tell me?
Even birds are pooping hearts for you.
I know. I'm like, this got real, like, so fast. And it was this crazy moment where, like, Preston did not represent anything I was after in terms of what it looked like and what it, like, on paper looked like. You know, I was like, I'm not dating anyone who's in the entertainment industry. Like, Preston was an actor at the time. And it was like all the things that I was like, I am not doing this again, because I'm in, you know, I'm entering my 30s and it's time to date a new kind of man. Sure enough, Preston hit all like the things that are like, I'm not doing that anymore.
Check, check, check. No. Yeah. Big fat no.
And so I was so resistant to him for so long. So we were friends for about a month, but like hardcore friends. Like, we were hanging out, we were going to see Marianne Williamson and reading books and going to lectures together. And like, I had a friend who was into this stuff that it was normally like me and only me and a couple girlfriends every now and then, but they still thought I was kind of weird.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
And then like, we're like watching like the super out there documentaries on YouTube. I'm like, you've seen this before? And I come to his house and I'm looking at his books. I'm like, you've read this book? Like, Science of the Mind. I'm like, that's like my Bible. He's like, oh my God, me too. And we just really hit it off. And he was so clear the whole time, like, you're my one. And he knew. I was very honest with him. I'm like, I'm kind of dating this guy, and I really, like, don't want to be in anything right now. And I kept having that conversation. And sure enough, one time he was speaking at this event that he invited me to, and the energy was just so palpable. It was like ridiculous, so ridiculous. And after that, he drives me back and he looks at me, he pulls a car over and he's like, so I know that, because I had all these guys kind of come back. My ex came back, this guy that I was kind of seeing in the summer. It was like full on universe testing me, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, I know you have all these guys after you right now, but I know what this is. So I'm taking my name out of the hat. He's like, hopefully I'll be here. But until you know what this is, I'm not just going to be another guy waiting in the wings. And I was like, oh,
well.
And that made me stop and take a look. And I had never had a man be so decisive and so direct. And that literally like shook me a little bit because I didn't want to lose him. And I also like was forced to really look at, why am I paying attention to any of these other people who don't have the one thing that I want that he has? And sure enough, that same afternoon, I called everybody else and was like, so here's what I'm doing.
Chills, people. You can't see my arms, but I've got chills all over.
So since then, it's just been like a nonstop. We've been together almost every day for like 23 hours a day since then.
And that was how long ago?
4 years ago.
Wow.
Yeah. Craziness.
So when you say it was the one thing that he had that they didn't, what was it?
It was, it's like an X factor thing that you almost can't describe, but to try and describe it, it's this feeling that he was about something that was bigger than himself. And I had never met a man. Because I find men in particular have this like legacy thing where it's like, I need to leave a legacy and I've got to have significance, and which is fine. Mm-hmm. But I'd never met a man who stood for something that was like actually bigger than him. And that really was mind blowing to me. And I was like, oh, he's got my kind of crazy, you know? Because like, crazy. Don't you ever feel crazy sometimes?
Yeah.
Sometimes I feel crazy and I'm like, people don't get this. Like, they don't get why I work so much. They don't get why I'm so committed, because it's not normal in our society. Mm-mm. But he got it. And sure enough, here we are, you know, 4 years later, and I look at him and he looks at me. I'm like, I couldn't do this with anybody else. Like, it had to be you. It had to be him.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
What an awesome story. I've heard bits of it. I never heard the bird poop part. I'm so inspired by that.
I'll show you the Instagram post.
I need to see it. Yeah. No, but how divine every single moment was that you were destined to meet each other. Because I know, I mean, I've gotten to a place where my mother's afraid, you know, wants me to be in partnership. And probably about 5 years ago, I felt it, maybe because so many of my girlfriends were in that space. And so then I thought, well, maybe I should get caught up in the energy of fear of not having it. But I've really just been so solid in knowing and trusting.
Yeah.
That in the right time, it will happen. Yes. And that I just get to shine my light brighter and do me.
That's it.
And I've had friends also who've said, just get online and duty date and, you know, get in the space with men again. And I go, here's the thing is, if I don't do the inner work to shift, I'm going to call in the same guy.
Yes.
Or the same pattern of men that I had in the past. And those didn't work. So me going out and duty dating and doing these things is not going to be it. It's the dropping within and going, whatever I have chosen to believe that is calling in these men, that has to be shifted. And whatever healing that needed to be done as well from my past of where I even picked those things up from.
Yeah.
And that's that deep level of trust. And I think so many people get so desperate for the relationship because there's the void again.
Totally. And the relationship will fix it. That's what they think.
Yeah. And no, it won't.
Oh, it will only highlight it.
Uh-huh. Because let's drop in there now.
let's go there.
Okay,
now.
Let's go.
Because even as you're saying that, I'm like, yes. And I attracted Preston to literally, because here I was, right? 4 years ago, I'm about 4.5 years in on my actual coaching business and like leading workshops and all of that, kind of still doing it part-time, not really full in, but feeling like I've got a grasp on this thing, right? Like done the work, got all my stuff together, like trauma's healed, check, check, check.
And done.
And done.
We love those checklists.
Totally perk up. And here I was thinking that, like, oh, I've healed all that stuff. I've worked through that. I've worked through my trust with women when it comes to men. I've worked with my trust with men when it comes to women. I've worked through all of that. Nope.
Oh, here we go.
Oh, and here it is. Preston, in his way, because he showed up in my world, literally called forth all of the old stuff that I thought I healed, that I thought I processed, that I thought I had gone through. And it literally, within the first 3 to 6 months, it was just like, whew, all in my face. And same for him. And so all of his childhood trauma that he hadn't processed, all of his stuff with his relationship with his mom that he hadn't dealt with, I was like the mirror for it, hardcore. So you've got two strong personalities. For those of you who don't know my husband, he's a very strong personality. And we do the same work. So you have two people, strong personalities, very direct, very stubborn, who know the work and who think they've got their shit figured out. Mm-hmm. So welcome to World War III when it comes to handling business in relationship. And it literally was like, there were moments where we were both like, this is, it's too much. Like, it's too much. It's too heavy. There's too much here. I want to run. And I wanted to run so many times because that's like, deuces, I'm out was yeah. So my thing.
I don't have time to deal with this. I gotta go.
Yeah, like I'm up to something in the world. I do not have time for this right now. And that was so my pattern. You know, I could do monogamy in 3 to 4 years, but if things really got uncomfortable or hard, I was just like, I don't need it. It's not like relationships were never my thing, so to say. But Preston, because of how he was brought up, was very much a like, no, we're going to stay in this, even though it might be uncomfortable for a month. Mm-hmm. And like that to me was like trauma for me because I grew up in a very volatile household with two parents who split early, remarried, and then gotten tons of fights with a second partner, split up, remarried again, tons of fights, split up, remarried again. So it's like relationships to me were just kind of like, it's kind of a joke. In a way, like, yeah, it works until it doesn't.
Yeah.
And then you move on, right? And so when all of our stuff started coming up, and Preston's a very gregarious, out there, personable guy in LA, he kind of like knows everybody, right?
Yes.
And I just moved here from New York, where I was kind of at in New York. And I was still finding my community here in LA and like hadn't put my foot in yet. And felt like every single person we had met was either somebody he had hooked up with or dated or like, you know, we joke about this now and I'm like, you're kind of a little man whore. And he's like, no, I wasn't. I was like, well.
I was just a popular dater.
Exactly. He's like, I dated. We had agreements. And I was like, okay, well, we can call it that, but sure. And it was so interesting for me because as a woman, I was kind of put into the social circle with all these women that he was friends with, that he had also dated or had sexual experiences with or whatever. And yet I didn't have any of my community. So I had like nothing for myself to feel grounded in other than myself, which I recognized, oh, I actually don't feel grounded in myself because I was so grounded by my external community in New York that I had never actually had to do the work to be home myself. Mm. And to actually like feel complete and secure in myself where I don't need validation from community or other women or past relationships or whatever it might be. And I was so faced with that here. And it was so hard because these women are amazing. I'm friends with them now. Half of them were at our wedding. Like I love them. Yeah. They're great. But it was really hard for me at first. And I also had all these stories about men with women and like cheating and lies because of my sexual trauma. Not even, my dad's amazing. Like my dad's super loyal and a great guy, but I was in the music industry at a young age from 17 to 22. I was traveling the world with guys who were top of the charts, who were all married, all doing their thing on the side. So I had this story that it's like, if you're someone who's out there in the public, you can't help yourself, you know?
Wow.
And that was my story. Yeah. And it was getting validated all over New York, whether it was my friends in the restaurant and nightlife industry, couldn't help themselves. Whether it was the music industry or television, couldn't help themselves. And it was like, well, men are weak and that's just what it is, right? Mm-hmm. So I kind of always kept this wall up and was like, I'm going to date guys that are safe. You know, like my dad, hardworking, amazing, like, you know. And Preston was the antithesis of that. He was in the acting industry and he knew everybody and he talks to everybody. And he's like, good looking. And this is, and I was like, trouble. Mm. I literally looked at him.
I know your kind.
Yeah. I was like, I know you. I'm like, you can't fool me.
Can't.
Yeah. And I'm ready for you. And I wasn't. And I was not. And so all my old insecurities that I didn't even know I had, because I had chosen to date really safe guys up to Preston. Preston was the first wild card that I had dated since I was, you know, 19.
Yeah.
And I'd set myself up that way perfectly so I could control my world and feel like I had my shit together. Mm-hmm. And then this wild card comes in, blows everything out of the water, and all my insecure little girl stuff comes up, and I had to deal with that. That was not Preston's fault. Yep. It was mine. I brought it with me. He just activated it because of who he just authentically was. Mm-hmm. So it was a lot.
Wow.
Yeah.
So how did you start coming home to yourself?
So many things.
Do we have another 3 hours?
Yes. Like so many things. You know, it was a mix of deep reflection and like facing off with the parts of myself that I was really afraid to look at. I think that was the hardest thing for me, was like, can I actually go into like my mother's story and her mother's story? And like, I looked at the lineage of women in my family and like their trauma around men and how that affected me. And it just, the whole thing unfolded when I did the ancestral lines of women and their relationship to men. That was huge. Mm. So that was like a whole unpacking for me. And then journaling, plant medicine, dancing and movement therapy, coaching other people, honestly, like I'm sure you know, it's like we do this work, but we get so much from this work.
Completely.
And I would have clients that obviously I was attracting that had similar stuff. And I got to see myself from this external perspective and I'm like, oh, that's what I'm doing.
Wow.
So that was really helpful too and very healing for me, because I got to see these patterns that if I don't shift now, I'm going to end up a certain way. If I don't change and like pivot how I'm perceiving this, I'm going to end up the type of woman who, fill in the blank, right? And through these different exercises, through different like somatic work for me has been massive. It's why I teach it. Releasing trauma in the body, actually like getting into my body and getting out of my head, which my head is so comfortable for me. Mm-hmm. Like, I got the head stuff down.
Oh, yeah, and you're good at it.
Yeah, good at it. But the body stuff, I didn't even know how uncomfortable I was in my body and how much I was reliant on my brain because of my sexual trauma.
Wow.
And I had even like mentally healed my sexual trauma, but not physically healed it. So I had to go back and do physical healing through somatic release work and trauma therapy and all this stuff that I was just learning because I was curious to tease it with my clients. And it ended up being homework for myself.
Oh, yeah.
Of course, right?
Yeah. I mean, that's where the traumas are stored, is in our bodies.
Yep.
And it's like these little compartments.
Yeah, exactly.
They're like, don't open, because I don't know if I can handle it, but you need to release those energetic traumas within our bodies in order to not let them hold you back anymore.
Totally.
Is there a place that you would guide people to start on somatic work if they needed to? Because I think that might be a newer terminology for some people, or an understanding. Where could people start with somatic work?
So there's a lot of different versions of somatic therapy. I was first trained in somatic work in the leadership context with my mentor, Scott Cody. And that was through the Art of Leadership Mastery, the Institute of Embodied Wisdom. And for some of you who are like, cool, but what's somatic mean? It's your body, the wisdom of the body, unified whole is what soma means. So as we're saying, all the stuff gets stored in our body. You can do movement therapy. You can do trauma release therapy. You can do vocal therapy, which is huge, like releasing voice blocks here, which was massive for me too. My husband and I do work called the Bridge Experience, which we have blended like 7 different modalities of somatic training.
Amazing.
So that's what our workshop is primarily based in. But for those of you who can't get into that work, look up somatic psychologists, look up somatic trauma release therapy and see if there's a practitioner in your area, because it can be done through kinesiology, all these different, like people are kind of taking it and spinning it their own way. Mm-hmm. But find a way that works for you.
Yeah. And if you can, you know, we'll have links to the Bridge Experience,
yeah,
which is what you do.
Yes.
In LA, as well as Australia, New Zealand,
London, Toronto, East Coast of the US. And we've done some like one-offs in like Costa Rica and other places.
Just link up. Yes. Sign up for all of Alexi's everything. Remember, you got to stalk her.
Stalk us.
And then you'll be able to do that work because it's so powerful.
Yeah.
So as you started coming home to yourself, there's still places that you got triggered, yes.
With of course. Okay. Still to this day, girl.
Oh, well, what are some of those?
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm pregnant. I'm 7 months pregnant. So yes. What's so funny about being pregnant too as a woman, I'm recognizing how many stories around pregnancy there are of like how I'm supposed to feel. And like, mm-hmm. I actually was not looking forward to being pregnant. I was like, pregnancy's going to suck because I'm going to like feel fat and like be tired all the time and be nauseous. And do I feel some of that? Sure. Like I'm making a human. So
yes,
shit changes to be real, but I actually love it. Like I've been loving making life and creating life and this experience of bonding with my body. And I feel more connected. And so all of that to say, pregnancy has been amazing and one of the biggest challenges because I'm in this constant surrendering to what's here. Like right now, baby's breached. Okay, I can do nothing to control that. I can do all the little tricks, acupuncture, chiro, you know, the pelvic tilts, all this stuff. But if this baby wants to come out how he wants to come out, I just got to surrender to that.
Yep.
And mama does not like that. Mama, I want to control things because controlling stuff is safe for me. And, you know, that is my biggest safety strategy is control. Because I'm really good at what I can control. I nail it every time if I can control
Nailed
it.
Nailed it.
Nailed it. But that's always been my strategy. Mm-hmm. Since my parents split when I was 4, it's like, okay, I'm going to be the kid that does really well in school, does really good in sports, make sure my mom's happy, make sure my dad's happy, and then life will be good. Mm-hmm. Then it happened like later on, you know, when I was being bullied. Okay, what can I control? And I constantly go into, okay, what can I control? And that has been my safety strategy. So now, being pregnant, I'm about to enter like the world of, girl, you can't control anything.
None of it.
Which we know, right? Yes. We know and we teach. And I get it on that level. But being pregnant has taught me a whole deeper version of like, you truly cannot control anything. And especially as this little human comes into this world, he's going to have his own path. He's going to have his own stuff. And I'm going to constantly get triggered because I'm going to have my idea of how it could be, should be, I would like it to be. Mm-hmm. And he's going to just have his little idea of how things get to be.
Yeah. Oh, I have a feeling he's going to be a great little teacher for you and Preston.
Oh, like, yeah.
Oh, hello, stubborn, controlling parents. I'm going to show you what's up.
Yeah. I'm about to school you guys. Take a seat.
Yeah. You thought you were great teachers for each other. Here I come.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And that's the thing, too. Like, coming back to the relationship with Preston, any conscious relationship, I think conscious partnership and, like, what is it, relationship goals is, like, the hashtag now. Any conscious partnership is not rainbows and unicorns and butterflies. And people think it is because they're like, well, partner A is conscious, partner B is conscious. So that means everything must be handled so much better. Mm-hmm. And yes, that is an outcome of doing the work together.
Yep.
But your awareness as conscious humans, number one, is huge. Mm-hmm. Number two, because you're aware of the mechanisms and the strategies and all this stuff, your old bullshit doesn't work anymore.
Uh-huh.
Which, girl, my old bullshit used to work all the time.
I was good at that. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I would be able to use my, like, personal development Jedi mind tricks and really be able to kind of avoid looking at myself. Mm-hmm. And so many of us in personal development, I've seen it in a lot of my clients that I work with. It's like we use the stuff that's here to support us to keep us even more safe.
Yeah.
And we use the stuff as well to become new victims to our awareness.
Mm-hmm.
And you bring that into partnership together, and it can create all sorts of awesomeness to be with. And Preston and I, because we've done the work on ourselves, yes, we can show up more powerfully to those conversations, but there's more of those conversations happening, if that makes sense.
So as you, I mean, in the beginning, I know so much of your stuff was triggered. How did you work through them together? I know it's our responsibility to work through it on our own, but there's also the partnership that you're holding space for. Mm-hmm. How did you two work in partnership to work through conflict or your own stuff when it was coming up with each other?
So many ways. I think the biggest things were feeling safe to have communication around what was coming up, but actually learning how to communicate. Because we say communication, but what does that mean, right? Like a lot of people are like, oh, communication's everything. I wish we could communicate more. We hear it all the time, but what does it actually mean? And because I recognized that the way I was communicating with Preston wasn't effective and the way he was communicating with me wasn't effective, we both said, okay, we've got to actually like learn how to communicate with each other and speak each other's language because we both have our own unique language. So we looked up nonviolent communication, we studied that, and then we just got into each other's patterns. We got into like, Preston, what are your agreements around what this word means? Like he had a whole thing about feelings. So like even me saying I feel was a trigger for him.
Really?
And it was like, oh.
And that's what you're taught to say is just say, approach the person and go, this is how that made me feel. Right. And that was a trigger.
And whoops. I was like, everything I know I can't use right now. And wow. It was so frustrating. And same for him, right? Like he was trying to speak to me from his language and it wasn't resonating with me. So the biggest thing was we had to look at our language. We had to look at our patterning, our programming from our mom and our dad and society and how we grew up. What do these specific words mean for you? And we literally got scientific on it. Like we wrote it out. We wrote out like, what's your agreement around seeing another woman who's beautiful? Like, what's your subconscious agreement about that? And he'd say, oh, well, that this is okay and that this is okay and this isn't okay. And I'm like, oh, see, mine is that this is okay, but this isn't okay. So we literally like mapped each other out. And that map changed everything because now I understood him and it wasn't like, oh, well, that's wrong. That's just his agreement, right? Mm-hmm. That's based on his programming and his mom and his dad and society and the neighborhood he grew up in, the culture he grew up in. That's his conditioning. Mm-hmm. Based on mine, totally different, mm-hmm. right?
And so now instead of a judgment, there's an understanding.
Yes.
Which is so powerful and I wish humanity would just do it with each other instead of not because every relationship is so necessary.
Totally. But that was really hard because both of us wanted to be right about our agreement. Mm. Both of us wanted to be right about what, like, this is the way that it's done. This is what's right. This is what's wrong. And here's all my evidence, mm-hmm. right? Don't we always have our evidence? Yeah. Like, all my friends would say that this is ridiculous.
Yeah, exactly. Exhibit A, B, C, D, E, F, G.
Do you want me to call her up? Wrong.
Yeah. She'll tell you that I'm right.
Exactly. And he was doing that and I was doing that. And it was just heads butting all the time until we actually said, you know what? That's not working. Let's mm-hmm. try something else. And so we actually share that process in our book, Now or Never.
Oh, so good.
Because it was a game changer for us. Huge.
So were there also, I hear that you guys now understand each other's maps.
Yeah.
So there's more understanding and compassion versus judgment and make wrong.
Totally.
Did you also shift some of your agreements based off of that map with each other?
Yeah. So we call it unconscious agreements are the agreements that are running our lives that we haven't actually brought to the surface and checked in on. Mm-hmm. Like, does that still resonate for me? So we took all of our unconscious agreements, brought them to the surface, looked at our maps, and we said, okay, I can understand that. Or you know what? That one doesn't feel good for me still. I'll lean into it. I'll try it on for a month. Mm-hmm. And I shifted a lot of my map for him and he shifted a lot of his map for me. And his map around like relationship and freedom, he had only been in one relationship when he was, you know, 20 to 23. And he's a grown man. You know? So he had a lot of time not being in relationship and not having to think of somebody else. Mm-hmm. Whereas I spent all of my 20s in relationship, mm-hmm. 4-year partnerships, back to back to back to back. So we had different constructs around like how to handle yourself in relationship. He shifted a lot. I shifted a lot. We never had to compromise on our like integrity and what our beliefs were, which felt really good mm-hmm. because we were in a practice and in a discovery process. So it was kind of like, cool, I'll try that on. I don't like it initially. Like, I'm really resistant to it, but I'll try it on for a month and let's have conversations about it. So I'd be in a scenario where it's like, normally it'd be a hell no for me. And then I'm like, you know what? I'm leaning in. Let's go. Okay. What can I learn here about myself? What can I discover here? How could I come more back into that space of home within myself? And it really trained me to rely on me in a really yes. beautiful and powerful way. And it did the same for Preston. So it was like this really great partnership activity, but also the way in which we cultivated home within ourselves that really brought our partnership so much closer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I know you gave some ideas, but let's say somebody really is struggling to feel whole within themselves, to feel like they're good enough, to feel like they're worth anything.
Yeah.
Because I know that's a deep conversation. We project so much that, oh no, I'm good.
Yeah.
And then deep down our secret is, mm-mm.
I'm not. Yeah.
Yeah. How would you guide someone, again, like maybe first couple steps on owning that worth again, or knowing that they're enough? Because we can get something conceptually consciously, right? Okay, right. I can hear all the messages. Yes, I'm whole and worthy and complete.
I'm, what does it mean, yeah, though?
Exactly. If I'm part of the stars and the stars are part of me, I'm a star. Like,
right.
Stuff like that. You just hear.
Yes, totally.
Right? Yeah. But conscious mind, but the subconscious doesn't believe that, our unconscious yeah. mind. So how do we, for you, I have my ideas, but I love hearing your perspective. Where do you guide someone to begin really owning that?
Yeah, for me, it's all evidence-based. Like, here's my science mind coming in, which I love science.
I love it.
Because we can, you know, theorize and philosophize about what we need to do and our mindset and strategies and cool, but let's get some evidence in our life, right? So for me, if you don't believe that you're worth anything, or if you're struggling with value and worthiness, which I have, I've totally been there, I had to see myself as a person of worth. I had to see myself as a person of value. So I got out in the world and created value for people. Mm-hmm. And that was huge for me, because I started seeing like, oh, I actually make a difference in this world. My life means something. And I think ultimately in the human experience, we're all seeking meaning at some level, right? So we get caught in these silos of suffering where we're just spiraling down and thinking, I'm not good enough, I'm not worthy, I'm not this, and we're overanalyzing it and we're trying to process it with this personal development thing and this self-help book and this workshop, and all of that's great. But if you're not out in the world actioning and getting evidence of your worthiness and value, well, it's an idea, it's a concept, mm-hmm. and that concept is harder to believe than physical evidence. So to me, it's go out in the world, go talk to people, go create value in your community, whether it's your local or global community, be of service, get out of your own way, like make it about the world and them versus about you. Mm-hmm. And you'll start to see yourself as like, oh, wow. I actually contributed something, mm-hmm. which means I'm a person of value because I created value for this experience.
Yep.
Which means I am worthy, you know? So it's like, it's kind of the backwards way, but it's evidence-based, and I love evidence, and it just feels
grounded. No, I love that. Yeah. And the outcome is that you're actually doing something good for humanity.
It's like, why do we have to wait, right? And that's what totally. A lot of people do. It's like, well, I have to wait until I've got all my self-beliefs right, and I've got to wait until I actually feel. No, start before you're ready. Like, begin now, get out in the world, do your thing. Mm-hmm. And the process of that in and of itself will transform you.
Totally. It's like two legs walking. You can't just like sit on what you, like the moment you take that step to be in service, maybe some of your stuff or your old beliefs or things will come up for you to transform.
Yeah.
Or you'll already just shift your perspective by taking that mere action and boom, next leg
moves. Totally.
And it's like you're walking together of growth and totally. And owning your value at the same time yeah. and being in service. So it's.
Yeah. And I love that so metaphor powerful. Too, because it's like. The walking is the worthiness, right? Mm-hmm. If we're just sitting here theorizing about how to walk, I could theorize all day. Like, okay, am I supposed to do the left foot from the right foot? Am I supposed to take baths and manicures? And like, what does self-care look like? Like, we could theorize about it 1,000 times, but just get in the game, get into life.
Yep.
Like, I think a lot of us are really resigned and depressed and feeling a certain way because we're resigned from living. And we're here to live. We're breathing, living creatures that are creative beings. If we're not creating, we're not utilizing ourselves.
Totally.
If we're not utilizing ourselves, of course we're going to feel that way.
Mm-hmm.
So we really get to tap in and like hold ourselves responsible for that.
Yeah. It's so powerful. Mm-hmm. I am in 100% alignment with what you're saying, Alexei. And I love that that's a big piece of the work that you and Preston do is, you know, really empowering people to go be in service, contribute, yes. use their own special, unique gifts that you can't compare to anybody else's.
Yes.
And yeah, and live. Yeah.
That's it. Like, that's the biggest gift that you can give yourself and the world. It's just live.
Yeah.
Live who you are.
You know, I got a couple questions for you.
Yeah.
This is in the Stephanie closet of I Want to Know of Alexei.
Let's go into this closet,
let's
girl.
Let's do this. I was so excited. Because I'm curious, when now, because you've done so much beautiful work, you are somebody who I see is extremely confident. You know who you are. You know what you want. You're so mission-driven. You've sourced amazingness around you. You know, wonderful husband. You're about to have a baby. Incredible community. Are there any moments in time still where you don't have confidence or you feel insecure about something?
For sure. Like I love to play a big game. Mm-hmm. And I've always been driven by challenge, but also scared shitless of it. Like, you know, like leveling up, I'm yeah. like, oh, this feels so good and scary and juicy. And I'm also like, oh my God, what if I fail? Yeah. You know, what if I fail? Like, that's a very real conversation I'm in all the time. Because I'm constantly like leveling up and trying to play a bigger game because it's fun for me, but equally scary. So the lack of confidence comes when I haven't been there. Again, I'm an evidence-based person. So I base my confidence based on what I've been able to do. It's like, oh, I got that. Yeah, that's easy. But if I haven't been there yet, you better believe I'm up against some of my own edges.
Because well, you can't control it again. There's one of those other moments.
Exactly. You're
like, I can't control.
I cannot control this. And that for me is exhilarating. Like I've really shifted my mindset around like freaking out about it to this is exhilarating because I'm an adrenaline junkie, probably not anymore now that I have a child, but I've jumped out of multiple airplanes and shark, you know, dove with sharks without cages and like all
without
sorts of
cages.
Oh yeah. Like 30 of them. Damn. I'm like a crazy person in my past. Not anymore, son. I will take care of you and be here. But the reason I love those experiences is because I was equally scared shitless. And also like, it was the most enthralling presence that mm-hmm. I have ever felt. Right. And I expanded so much from those. And I see every single time that I'm about to step into an auditorium, let's say, of 5,000 people to speak in front of versus like the 1,200 that was my top before. I feel that sense of like, do I have this? Like, can I hold this? Can I make an impact? Will my words land? Will it matter and make a difference? All that stuff still comes up for me. But the difference is I keep stepping in, you know, despite it, because it shows up for sure. Mm-hmm. Writing a book was a huge thing for me and like having it published with a real publisher and like, because I was going to self-publish. I was like all good to self-publish my book. And then it got picked up by a publisher and it was like, oh, real people are going to read this book. And it's not just like my audience, like it's going to be in bookstores. And then a bookstore is going to decide if my book is worthy to be in the shelves. And it was like, so there's so many things, right? And every time I put out a video, there's the idea that someone's going to hate it. And of course, there's lots of people that hate my stuff. And there's lots of people that love it. And my job is to keep going, right?
Yes.
So that's the thing I keep coming back to. It's not about having perfect confidence. It's not about like having it always together all the time. It's keep going despite what shows up. And that's been my winning strategy for life is like take the next step. Even if you don't feel ready, even if you don't have all the stuff figured out, even if you feel completely out of control.
Totally.
Say yes.
Yes.
Exactly.
So for some people, it's self-paralysis
yeah.
in the moments. Like you are able to switch it and make it something exciting for you.
Yes.
Clearly because your past also had a little bit of that adrenaline.
Yeah.
For some people, they're literally stopped, cannot do it, mind shuts off, body shuts down, and they're not able to take that next step. How would you guide somebody to go like to take that next step when it's like everything shuts down.
Yeah. So if I was coaching them, I would actually force them to do it. And I've done this with my – everyone's like, I'm not coaching with you ever. I force my clients to step in Because again, evidence supports reality.
Yeah.
If we have evidence that we can do it once and not die, like that's my favorite statement.
I'm alive.
Like, you didn't die. You're still here. And they're like, I didn't die. And I'm like, great. Wasn't perfect, but we got a little work to do, but you didn't die. Yeah. Great. Next step. And I think it's that, because I've been paralyzed. I've been on stages and forgotten my speech. I self-sabotaged a TED Talk 8 years ago. Mm. Like, I have done all of that. And I learned, right? And I learned that it's literally forcing myself to do the exact thing I don't want to do that literally makes it okay the next four times I do it. You know, you ever notice that?
Yes.
Like the scariest thing, you're like, oh my God, that's so scary. Like speaking on stages now, I used to have the biggest fear around it. And now I just kept doing it and putting myself in front of schools, whoever would listen. I'm like, I'm going to talk.
The grocery store. Hello, people. Gather around.
Everyone gather around for this amazing conversation.
Yeah.
And I did it over and over again, so much so where I had enough evidence that proved that I didn't die, that people got value from it, and I'm actually good at this. Yes. What?
Yeah. I love that you shared that because we so often look at the final product.
Totally.
And not.
Especially in our world today.
Oh, God.
And highlight not, reel.
Yeah, highlight reel. Thank you, Facebook and Instagram
exactly.
and all social media platforms. However, like, knowing that there was a journey to get there and that even hearing you say, I self-sabotaged a TED Talk, I forgot words on stage. I'm like, what?
Oh,
because,
girl.
So too, I look at you and before you were a TV host, so you had to learn to be on the fly to make it happen pretty much in front of a camera. So in my mind, I'm like, oh, well, duh, that's why she's so amazing on
stage.
But
those were other people's words. Like that was a huge thing for me.
Oh.
So when I first started in this, I did not, like, videos have kind of become my thing that people are like, oh, yeah, she does these videos and da-da-da. I had a podcast because I was resisting video because I had done video as a television host for so long, but I had a script and it wasn't my words. So if, like, it sucked, it wasn't mine. I was like, well, I brought my personality. I did what I could do, but not my words. When I actually had to talk about something I cared about from my heart that had vulnerability laced into it, transparency, being on video with that was really scary.
Like,
so I was like, I'm going to do a podcast. And everyone's like, why are you doing a podcast? Like, you have video training. And I'm like, because, and I had all these reasons. All my reasons were like, I just don't want to be judged anymore for like what it looks like. Like, I want to be judged for the content. Like, I had all these really awesome, like legit reasons, but they were reasons.
And like, I so recognize my shit myself. Up right now. Thanks a lot.
Sorry.
But yeah, interesting.
Yeah, it's so interesting. So even though I had the television thing, I was so resistant to doing videos of my words and my art, my source coming through. Mm-hmm. Like that was a thing for me. It took me a long time to do it. I had it on my list of stuff to do for about 7 years. Wow. No joke. Start a YouTube channel. 7 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, again, love that. See, knowing this, huge. This is why I love having these conversations because all this crap that we make up in our head, we see the final product or the perfect or the person in the world and not realizing everything that, you know, you've been through and even you battling your own fears because you, to me, and to so many people are, you know, one of the most courageous, fearless, powerful women and
process girl. Yeah. I'm still in it.
Yeah. Oh
yeah,
girl, I love you. I could sit here and talk to you all day long. I might have to do a part two with you because I have more questions
for
you.
We can do a part two.
Yay. But for now, as we close this out, I have three questions that I ask all my guests.
Okay.
It's the unlock your heart round. First question is this: what's something unique about you that nobody else knows?
Nobody else, not even my husband.
Well, actually, it's most people, but I just changed yours to nobody knows.
Oh,
we're dropping in super juicy with
you. That nobody knows. I feel a lot more than I lead on. Like, I'm super, like, I feel so much. I feel so much of the world and so much of people. And I could be in a conversation with someone and feel them. And they're not even saying something. And I'm like, I feel so much in my body, but because I was brought up very much a tomboy and very much like, emotions are weak, don't be in your emotions. I have since dealt with that. But I feel way more deeply than people actually would experience me feeling.
Wow.
Yeah. Even my husband, I would say, doesn't know. Like, he knows it. He's like, you're so sensitive under there. Like, I am. But he's never actually experienced
the depth of it. What if you let him experience the depth of
it? I'm leaning in.
Yeah.
Like, the pregnancy hormones are kind of forcing me.
Sorry, babe. Here, it's all coming out.
It's here.
Can't control another thing. Thank you, baby.
Thank you, nature. Yeah. So I am definitely leaning into it more. And it's been really funny, like, seeing him in response to it. Because I'm like, you know, I'm like holding it down, power, all of that. And he's like, he knew I had a soft side, but he's really feeling it more. Mm. So it's been nice.
It's really beautiful.
Yeah.
And when you're in a really dark place, what's your go-to to get out?
Sunshine, nature, outside. Like, I grew up in the woods and like building forts and like having sunshine and snow and like having the elements on my skin. Yes. For me is like, it brings me back home to, yes, there's the human world, but like the natural world as well. And we're nature, you know, and nature, as chaotic and messy and crazy as it can be, is it's always striving and always bounces back.
Yeah.
And so like for me, being in nature just kind of transports me.
Mm, mm-hmm. I feel you.
Yeah.
I got to stick my feet in the sand. Yes. And in the ocean. Oh. Or even hiking or sitting there with the sun on my face too, on my deck, because it's, yeah, you feel like there's something bigger than you too. And
yeah,
there's just something so grounding. So yeah.
Totally. Yeah, I love it. So good.
And the final question is this: knowing what you know now, what advice would you give your 10-year-old self?
Oh, you can't fail. Like, you can try. You'll maybe mess up, but you'll never fail.
You can't.
You'll always be on path.
Yeah.
And you know, so many people say like, oh, what's my purpose? I'm like, you're on it. Like, you're in it. Just trust and it will reveal. Keep asking those questions. You cannot fail.
You can't.
Like, if we have breath in our body, we're on purpose. And even when we don't have breath in our body, like, energy never dies, it transmutes. So let's just trust and like lean back. I worked with an energy worker who's a dear friend of mine who gave me this beautiful visual and it just came through. So I want to honor her. She told me, she's like, I want you to picture yourself falling back into a huge lake that goes on forever. And this lake is so still and so deep. And that lake is the universe. And just fall back and open your arms and allow it to support you. And that visual for me has just been like, keeps grounding me again and again. It's like, you can't mess this up.
You can't.
Yeah.
And on that beautiful note, wow, thank you for that.
Of course.
And thank you for you. Yes. Alexi, I freaking love you.
I love you too.
Yeah. And so where can everybody find you and connect with you and get all the goodness that you have to share?
Yeah. So alexipanos.com or at alexipanos, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube. I'm on Pinterest, but I haven't like really utilized it yet.
Mm-hmm.
But you can find me on there.
Perfect.
You can check out my boho fashion boards.
I want to check them out. Guys, please make sure you check out all of Alexi's work. You will definitely be inspired and you'll have powerful tools that you can utilize to march forward in your world to give.
Yes.
So I love you, girl.
Yeah, I love you too.
How awesome was that? Alexi drops so many wisdom bombs and she is a big time giver. Seriously, you guys, not only have I been blessed with Alexi's friendship, but as I shared, I've worked with her in her business mastermind, and you always feel Alexi's authenticity, her genuine kindness, full presence, and her constant desire to contribute. Speaking of which, as I shared at the top of the episode, Alexi is generously giving away her webinar on abundance, sharing the 5 keys to unlock abundance in your life. So if you need a little extra juju boost to increase abundance in your life, you definitely want to check out this awesome training. And you can access the abundance webinar by going to stephaniekwong.com/AlexiAbundance. And the fun doesn't stop here. Go check out my Instagram at @IamStephanieKwong, where I have a mini video of Alexi sharing her go-to practice that stops her from stressing out and overthinking. And I think we could all use this one. So make sure you hop on over to my Instagram to check it out. Now, if there's anyone you know who could benefit from this episode, please share it with them. And if you got value from this episode and you want more, I would love for you to subscribe to the podcast and leave me a 5-star review on iTunes, because that means we can support even more people to rise higher together. And finally, for everything that we mentioned in today's episode, to download Alexi's free abundance webinar, The 5 Keys to Abundant Living, and for links to connect with Alexi, you can check it out in the show notes, and that's over at stephaniekwong.com/EP12. And you can check out all my other podcast episodes there too. So until next time, I'm sending you so much love.